weeknights from 6
on 2FM. Big thanks to Betta De Silva for driving us through the afternoon. It's Friday, the 2nd of August, and you're listening to Game On. Coming up between now and the official chart show with Blonde and Tracy at 7 o'clock, we're live to Paris on a golden day for Team Ireland. Nadine Doherty will preview Sunday's All-Ireland Ladies Football Final between Kerry and Galway. Jane Mangan will bring us up to date on the Galway races and the weekend ahead, while Alan Colley is in studio to reflect on how Irish Club fared in Europe this week. If you want to have your say, you can send us a text on 51552 or contact us on WhatsApp 087-187-9200.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome along. Alan Colley is with me in studio. There's been a lot happening this week, lots of football, but the Olympic Games as well. Alan, when you're as dedicated to watching sport as you are, I'd imagine you've done nothing else but sit there and become an expert on everything.
Yeah, I'm glad you threw in that line at the Emery. Good evening, by the way. I've actually found myself more involved in this Olympics than ever before, than any other Olympics. I'm not sure, is it because I mentioned we had Ian obviously in pre-Olympics, just preview and everything that's about to take place, and because I suppose there was the amount of realistic contenders that we had, maybe that's why I'm so interested in it. And there seems to be an event every night, or a final, or somebody going for gold, which has been brilliant. And I found myself really, really invested in it heavily. Like, as you said, I'd watch most sports anyway, but even invested in random stuff, like I was saying to Max outside about the BMX freestyle last night, and it was absolutely brilliant and thrilling to watch.
Did it bring you back to when you were young and had a BMX?
Yeah, I remember, brought me back to a terrible fall I had. I remember going straight into a wall and Killary Drive in Sligo and wasn't good. But there was also the badminton. I've loved, great, yeah. Really enjoyed the badminton. And then of course the gold medals, like for ourselves, and Mona kicking it off with the bronze, and obviously with the Sligo link. I was so happy for Mona. Daniel Whiffen backing up all the talk as well, and I loved his confidence, it was amazing. And then he goes out and backs it up, Marie. And then the boxing has been a little bit disappointing, mm-hmm. but Kelly's obviously flying the flag, and the roars then has been just, Paul O'Donovan is just phenomenal, yeah. Isn't he?
I'd love if in years to come he was able to dedicate his body to science, just to see what's actually going on there, because his lung capacity just must be out of this world.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And then, and over the longevity that he's built up now as well, because that's his third Olympics, isn't it? So that's 3, 4, 12, like it's, and then he's competing in and out. And one thing that struck me as well, Marie, it's amazing. It's all, obviously the winning is great and being successful and the medals, but the narrow margins is unbelievable. Like 0.1 of a second. And even Mona in the night she got the bronze, like it was so close to getting a silver, but yet she was so close to being fourth as well. So the narrow margins are phenomenal. And the one thing, as I was listening to the interviews afterwards with a lot of the athletes, And I was trying to get my head around this, or the mindset that they're training for 3 years and it can all just go just like that. Like when we were training, you're training for a match mm-hmm. on a Saturday or a weekend, and that's always your aim you're looking for. So you have to wait 3, 4, 5 days, whatever, and you might even play midweek. To have that in your head, now I know they're competing in different competitions throughout the 3 or 4 years, but just that goal of the Olympics and to be training for that, to peak at that kind of moment, like I don't know how they can just... I don't think I'd last if someone says to me, look, 3 years and that's what you have to aim for. Like it's a hell of a goal to be sticking out in front of you. Like.
And for every fairy tale story, there's a lot of disasters along the way.
Of course,
as well.
Absolutely. When you think of, again, like the small countries and the amount of people competing, so the chances of you winning as well is just, I don't know. It's
minuscule.
But they're phenomenal, yeah. And I've really enjoyed it. I think Paris has been brilliant as well. The fact that it's been so close to home, some of the venues, even the show jumping I was watching earlier on was brilliant. The venue was just... it's like something from a postcard. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and the scenery and all the rest. Well, I'm never going to doubt your expertise, but I am going to cross over to an actual expert, and that is Siobhan Madigan, who is in Paris. Siobhan, how are you?
I'm good, Marie. Not so sure about the expert, but I'll tell you what I know about what's gone on
Perfect.
Today so far, because it's really end-to-end stuff here from start to finish of the day. Day 7 for these Olympic Games. Ireland's medal tally now standing at 5, a second gold medal, as we all know at this stage. Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan defending their lightweight double sculls title on the water this morning, beating Italy and Greece in a thrilling finish. Ireland's second gold of the Games. It now means that they're tied 14th in the medal table alongside Hong Kong, who got 2 medals from their swimmer Siobhan High, and of course she could have declared for Ireland too, so we could have a little bit more than the 5 medals, but we'll settle for one a day as they have been for the last 5 days. Rowing, and they simply dominated. Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy doing it back-to-back, successfully defending that title. Third at the 500-metre mark, they dominated the remainder of the race and finished 2 seconds clear of the chasing crews, Italy second, Greece third. We've heard throughout the day from both Paul and Fintan, so let's hear now from the rowing high-performance director, Antonio Mauro Giovanni.
I think that is an unbelievable result at the end of the day, considering that what we did in Tokyo, we keep the same standard and actually we improved in some way because we had 4 crews in the final at this Olympic Games, while in Tokyo we were 2. And that is already a good improvement, plus we confirmed the 2 medals, so definitely has been an unbelievable result. Now we have to reflect, we have to review, because it's always hard to get good results, it's much harder to keep the same level of results. So that's the hard job that we have to do when we are back in Ireland.
How do you keep doing it? How do you keep this consistency up and keep making strides and pushing forward?
Review. I think there is nothing more difficult than review when things go well, because when things go well, we forget to review. And we are so passionate about the result, and then we don't really analyze what we can do better. Now I think an appropriate, very cold and very cynic review needs to be put in place, and that will give us, as we did in Tokyo, that will give us the possibility to keep the level, which is already pretty high if you think about that we are a 6 million country of people, and and compete against Australia or compete against the Dutch or the GB or the Italian, even better than these countries.
A word just on the golden success again today, Paul and Fintan, back-to-back Olympic champions, incredible.
They are outstanding. They are outstanding. They are role models for everyone. They are a great, great crew, winning 3 times a medal, repeat the gold medal from Tokyo, and having also success in their professional career. Because we don't have to remember, we don't have to forget that they are professionals. So, anesthesiologist, the other one is a doctor, and still can train and win a gold medal. It's very, very outstanding, which is what you need to be at this level to win a gold medal. You need to be outstanding. You need to be exceptional. You can't be normal. That's impossible.
Speaking of outstanding, Paul O'Donovan, 3 medals at 3 different Olympic Games. We see the regard and respect he's held around here from people from all over the world.
Absolutely. He's becoming a legend. I think he will deserve some... I don't know, I'm saying something maybe people won't accept that, but I think when you have some athletes like that, I think we have to invest on people like them and make sure that they can give back to the community, to the society, because what they are doing is something special, and that they can be passed to the new generation. And that is why I think the people above me, they have to invest on these athletes, because they can pass something very special to the new generations.
Well, something very, very special is going on in Irish rowing, and much of the credit must go to that man, Antonio Mauro Giovanni. Of course, he mentioned and referred to 4 Irish crews in A finals here, and there were 2 others on the water this morning. Margaret Creeman and Aoife Casey finished 5th in the women's lightweight double sculls. Great Britain took gold there, silver to Romania and bronze to Greece, while Ross Carrigan and Nathan Timoney finished 6th in the men's pairs final, and they just were pipped by Spain in the closing stages. To sailing now, and a near miss for Rob Dixon and Sean Wadilove in the men's skiff. They finished 4th after jumping the start in the medal race today. The pair, along with Uruguay and Croatia, falling foul of the gun. Croatia were disqualified as a result. Ireland had to restart their race. It all but ended their interest before the race started. A massive disappointment, a costly error. But the pair, Rob and Sean, spoke afterwards to Jackie Hurley.
Yeah, it's tough. We can't take away from the fact that we sailed an absolutely fantastic week. It's been our best regatta to date, so we can be really proud of that. We had a tough time on the start line. The boat below us was over the line, so we had to make a decision. Did we go back and clear ourselves if we were over as well? And we took that decision. And it was, after that, there wasn't really much chance to get back into it. It's a fairly straightforward course, so not much we can do.
Can you talk us through that decision-making out there, Rob? Because obviously that's an instinctive thing. You just have to go with it, and you know probably in that moment that maybe the chance is gone.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that we were one of the most forward boats, so we had to, like, once that flag went up, we knew we had to go back. Yeah, and obviously, like, you can kind of see it slipping away a bit during the race, because, like, it's such a straightforward race, you couldn't really do anything to get back. So, yeah, we're just, I don't know, just disappointed.
I know, Sean, you say there's so many positives, and that's the way it seemed all week. You guys have raced an unbelievable regatta. Like, how do you kind of take the emotions of that and just be able to walk away and say, you know, just, it was one day, you know?
Yeah, I guess it came down to a 20-minute race. But, yeah, like I said, the whole week we sailed fantastically. I think we should and are really proud of ourselves. There's not many things we could have done differently this week, and yeah, it came down to a 20-minute race.
I saw you guys with your families there. You know, I chatting to them earlier, like, they're so incredibly proud to be able to make an Olympic final, to be able to put you guys in contention. Must give you so much hope for coming back here and trying to do this all again.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even thought about that, but I'm so happy to see all the family there. They're so happy to see us, and we'll have to have a think about if we're going to come back or not.
Ah, lads, you know, I think just the moments that you've given everybody this week, I hope you know how proud the country are of you, because sometimes in these moments it's hard to do that, but I'm sure when you reflect, fourth place finish at the Olympic Games is a pretty nice place to be in a lot of ways.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as Rob said, support's been amazing. We've never seen such support at a sailing competition like this. And, yeah, like, I think we'll give it a few days and think about everything properly and process it. I'm sure we'll come away really happy.
They call it the leather medal. It's hugely disappointing to finish just outside the silverware, but those two boys, they've really done themselves proud today, or today and indeed all week, Rob Dixon and Sean Wadilove. Spain were the dominant force in the skiff fleet all week. They took gold, a deserved gold, in Marseille today, silver to the USA, and the USA pipping the Irish to the line for bronze. In show jumping, the wait for a team medal at Olympic level continues. They finished a disappointing seventh in the Palace in Versailles today. The Irish team were in contention for a medal heading into the final round, but nine falls from Kian O'Connor and Morris added to the five of Shane Sweetnam and James Cann-Cruise all but wiped out the clear round from Daniel Coyle and Legacy. Great Britain with Harry Charles, son of former Olympic champion and former Irish competitor Peter Charles, well, they took gold. Silver went to the USA and a surprise bronze for France. Irish reaction now comes from the anchor rider Kian O'Connor, who spoke with Joe Stack.
Yeah, it's tough, Joe. It's a difficult course, obviously. All the horses have jumped well, but it's very difficult with the new format. It's down to the wire, and after the first two riders go from each country, they have a break, as you saw, and then the third riders have to go depending on their order. So a lot of changes, a lot of things to get used to with the format, but listen, you have to jump clear rounds to win these championships, and we just fell a bit short.
How did Morris perform?
He felt good. He jumped the hard stuff well. I thought I gave him good distance into the first combination, into the treble. He just didn't push evenly off the floor and stayed a bit low. He had that. Maybe I lost my concentration a little bit after the trill bar. I was trying to hurry a little bit as well, and I ran too close to the second double. But listen, as I said, he jumped very well. He jumped his heart out. We put ourselves in the position to be here. All the horses that are here deserve to be here. They've had a great year. Just wasn't our day.
Team GB winning with just two time penalties overall over three rounds. It shows the near perfection that's required at this level, doesn't it, Kane?
Absolutely, and very experienced horses too. Harry Charles' horse is an older horse, as is Scott Brash's and Ben Maher rode super as usual. But when you come to this level, you need very, very experienced horses, and you can see how they came out on top.
Good to reach a final. Time now, though, for Team Ireland to dust themselves down and get ready for the individual competition on Monday and Tuesday, whoever's required.
Yeah, it's 2 days off, which is nice for the horses. The weather's cooled down a little bit here today, which isn't so bad. The first 2 days were warm, and they'll have a couple of days to chill out and calm down and recover. And it's important for the horses and the riders to have a little bit of downtime and then build ourselves back up for Monday.
Final thoughts, a week into the Olympic Games after the first competition?
Listen, it's not easy. We jump competitions all over the world every single week, nearly throughout the whole year, everywhere. And the Olympic Games is the pinnacle. It's where we want to do well. But it's sport, and we understand the ups and downs of it. And once the horses are safe and healthy and happy, that's a good day.
Boxing, and there was a high-level matchup in the featherweight division of the women's competition today. There was defeat, though, ultimately for Belfast's Mikhaila Walsh to the European champion Kamenova Staneva. The Bulgarian will now fight for a medal against Yu Ting Lin of Chinese Taipei. You might remember her name. She's been the subject of much scrutiny here this week, but she came through her opening bout this afternoon against Uzbekistan. But after the bout, Mikhaila Walsh from the Holy Family Club in Belfast gave her reaction to her defeat with Adrian Ames.
It was a close fight, especially the first round. It was very cagey. It was sort of hard to score, but obviously coming back and hearing you're 5-0 down, I thought that was a bit harsh, so sort of trying to chase the fight then. I felt I had a good second and third round, but ultimately she got the scoring unanimous decision. But like I said, it was a very, very close fight, and she's a brilliant, brilliant opponent. She's a current European champion, and I wish her all the best going forward. I really hope she can go all the way to gold.
And it was quite a cagey fight at times. You swayed one of the judges in the second round, but right throughout it was a very, I suppose, technical fight almost.
Yeah, it was very technical, and just at the end of the day, it's whatever what the judges are looking for. They obviously favoured her style of boxing over mine, and that's something I have no control over.
Yeah, that's Mikhaila Walsh. Her interest in these games comes to an end. She is, however, a two-time Olympian, as is her brother, who was beaten earlier in the boxing competition. To swimming now, Ellen Walsh finished sixth in her heat of the 200 IM. Her time, 2 minutes 11.81 seconds, less than 2 seconds down on the fastest qualifier for the semi-finals. That was Summer McIntosh of Canada. She goes tonight, Ellen Walsh, in the semi-finals. They're in the pool at about 22 minutes past eight. Back to the sailing in the women's dinghy class. Eve McMahon finished 21st in race two of her fleet and 16th in race three. They're a little bit behind the schedule. This is owing to the difficult weather conditions for the sailing competitions down in Marseille. Eve stands in 15th position overall after three races of the 10 there. Finn Lynch was 26th in race three of the men's dinghy and 22nd in race number four. He sits 25th in the standings overall, and they have six races remaining. To the golf on day two out at La Nacional, Japan's Hideki Matsuyama had a double bogey six on the 18th to drop out of the outright lead at the halfway point. He now shares top billing on the leaderboard. He's 11 under par alongside the defending Olympic champion Xander Schauffele, who shot 66 today, and England's Tommy Fleetwood, who missed a birdie chance on 18. Ireland's Rory McIlroy is tied 13th on 5 under par. A somewhat untidy finish again for Rory. A double bogey six at 17 was cancelled out either side with a birdie, but he also had an eagle mixed in at the third hole of his round. It added up to a 2 under 69, and afterwards he spoke with Darren Frahl.
Yeah, to play the last three and even par and have a double bogey in there actually is, you know, two good birdies on 16 and 18, but obviously with the six in the middle. But yeah, similar story to yesterday, just a few too many mistakes, making the birdies and you know, hitting the good shots. Just need to try to limit the mistakes over the weekend.
I know you have a bit of work to do, but have you had a look at that leaderboard? Do you think you're maybe that 18 hole there that's kept you in it slightly?
I think so. You know, 5 under par, I think third position at the Bennett is 9 under, so only 4 back of a bronze. Yeah, I think I'm right there. I think anyone on, you know, 5 under or better is going to, you know, still fancy themselves going into the weekend.
Yeah, so that's Rory McIlroy. What of Shane Lowry? He remains on level par after back-to-back rounds of 71. He also spoke with Darren.
Today was pretty similar to yesterday, and never really got anything going. It was a bit of a boring round, and yeah, disappointing, but what can you do? Tried my hardest out there. Wasn't good enough. Gave myself a lot of chances. Porter was cold, and yeah, the leaders are flying away with it, so probably giving myself way too much to do. So playing for pride this weekend now, and you know, I go away this afternoon and kind of reflect on the last 2 days, and then kind of give it a good go over the next 2 days and try and get myself as far up the leaderboard as I can.
I know you're not going to get all these, you know, 10, 12 footers, but you got yourself in a lot of good positions. Yeah, yeah. And even if three or four of them dropped for you today, I think it would have made all the difference.
Yeah, I just needed a bit of momentum, really. You know, you hold one or two and then, you know, you're off and running. And I felt like I did that sort of. I hold a good one for par. I can't remember what hole. And then I hold a good one for birdie as well. And then, you know, from there on, I just kept on hitting inside 20 feet all day and never really hold anything. Burning the edge as well. And the frustrating thing is I didn't feel like I was hitting bad putts. I felt like I was hitting decent putts. I just was struggling to read the greens. And, yeah, but that's golf. That's the way it is. Unfortunately, it's happened the last 2 days for me. And what can I do?
Yeah, what can he do? Well... He can improve on it tomorrow and again the next day. But Shane Lowry, level par after back-to-back rounds of 71. A trio of leaders in the golf competition. They are Hideki Matsuyama, Xander Schauffele and Tommy Fleetwood, all on 11 under par. Ireland's Noel Hendrick placed 14th and it was 18th for Liam Jegu. That was in the individual time trial element of the men's kayak cross event, which got underway. Both men seated in the top half of the draw. Round one of the competition is scheduled tomorrow. Madison Corcoran in the women's event placed 35th. Now, kayak cross is a relatively new event at these games. It's the first time that it's set to take place. The heats are run with four boats going down the course together. They'll start from a 2 metre drop. It'll also include a full underwater spin halfway through the course. So real excitement in this one. It's due on the water for both the men and the women between 3:15. So just before Rhys goes in the pommel horse final, if you have a chance to have a look at it, I suggest you do. It looks like fun. I think it's going to be fun. And then it's the perfect build-up for potentially another medal for Ireland. Rhys McClenaghan going in the pommel horse final tomorrow at 4:15. He qualified top of the standings with the most points and he goes in as the gold medal favourite. Could we have a third gold medal of the week for Ireland? We'll cross our fingers one day at a time. We'll concentrate on getting through the rest of today's action. And it was a tough week for the Irish men's hockey side. They had four defeats heading into their final game of the competition against New Zealand today. And thankfully, I have good news. Ireland won the match by 2-1. It's not long over. New Zealand had taken the lead through Joseph Morrison after 5 minutes. The Irish equaliser was just before the end of the opening quarter from Benjamin Walker. And then the Irish hit the front with a goal from Jeremy Duncan on 31 minutes. The New Zealanders pushed for an equaliser. The Irish held firm. It's the final outing for them in the competition. They can't finish in the quarterfinal places, but they could finish with a win, and a great win it was. Ireland's men's hockey side winning by 2-1. Now it's day one of the athletics, and one of the big highlights is, from an Irish perspective, the 4x4 mixed relay, and it's on the track. The Irish side in heat action on the track, and Jesse Barr is on the line. And Jesse, we anticipated there'd be no Rashida in the Irish lineup. We anticipated there'd be no Charlene in the Irish lineup, and there's not.
We actually do have Charlene. She's going to be running the anchor leg. She'll be running last. We have Sophie Becker in second in the place of where Rashida would usually be running. They're currently lying in fifth with top three to go through and two fastest. Sophie's holding her own in fifth. There's a little bit of a gap forming to fourth. She will be passing to Thomas and he'll be passing to Charlene, who we know has such good speed on that last leg. She just needs to hang on to this position now and not give them too much work to do.
Yeah, but there's been a highlight already on the track, a world record in heat number one.
There has been, and they anticipated this was going to be a quick track. There's my brother just taking off there now. They anticipated this was going to be a quick track, and the US broke their own world record in that heat and looked like they were easing down in the last 10 metres. So I think we're going to see some ultra quick times. I just hope the Irish can benefit from that speed as well. Yeah. Thomas is just still holding on to that fifth position, but he has the... I'm trying to even figure out
he's
which...
He's just on the bend.
He has the Ukrainians just sniffing around behind him, so hopefully he can use that speed that I know he has from the hurdles. He's just hanging on to that fifth as we speak.
From a family perspective, he's appearing at his third games. Immensely proud, no doubt.
Immensely proud, and I won't lie, my heart is absolutely racing here, knowing this could be his last appearance at an Olympic Games. That may be his last appearance we've just watched.
Yeah,
if it is, it'll be an emotional one.
The bat on, and Charlene... has it.
Charlene has it. She's in fifth. She has a lot of work to do to catch up to fourth. There's probably about 20 metres between her and the fourth place athlete. A big gap to form. We know Charlene and the incredible leg that she can run, but I just think there's too much work to do. So hopefully they can squeeze into one of those fastest loser spots. She's about 150 metres left to go.
You keep an eye on that. I'll just go through a little bit of the results from earlier. Disappointment for all three athletes, really, in the 1500. Cathal Doyle, ninth in 3:37.82 in heat one. Luke McCann, eighth in 3:35.73 in heat two. And Andrew Coskren ran a really disappointing time. 3:42.07, placing 15th in heat number three. And Jody McCann has failed to progress in the 5,000 heats. A short time ago, she ran 15:55.08 and won't progress. And what of that mixed relay? It's all over, Jessie.
It's all over, and unfortunately I'm delivering the bad news that the Irish have not made it through. I'm not sure, it's just coming up where they're placing overall. Their overall time was 3:12. They needed to be faster than the 3:11 to guarantee one of those next fastest spots. So disappointment for the Irish team. They're sitting on the track watching their times coming up, but I think the realisation that they won't have made this final is starting to dawn on them, unfortunately. Real disappointment for a team that are coming off the back of that European gold medal. It was always going to be a big ask, with or without Rashida, to get that medal. And look, I really did believe they had enough to get into the final. It just wasn't to be today. I'm just looking at their individual legs, and they all ran very well individually, but this fat just slower than they all would have ran at that European Championships when they really, really ran out of their skin. So looks like it's disappointment for the Irish team, unfortunately, and obviously a personal disappointment.
Absolutely. Well, you know, unfortunately,
they're actually looking up to me for the results, because I actually don't think they know, but I think I've just been the one to have to deliver the bad news, so I feel like an awful person here. But yes, unfortunately it is going to be disappointment for that 4x4 relay we've been so excited about.
Okay, Jessie, thanks for joining us here this evening. On that note, we'll leave you off, because Eric Favours will be in action shortly in the shot put, that coming up at about 7:10 Irish time. But despite that disappointing news, we'll finish on tonight, and we'll just reflect on that golden morning we had with Fintan McCarthy and Paul O'Donovan taking gold in the lightweight double sculls, beating Italy and Greece along the way. From Paris, au revoir.
Thanks for that, Siobhan. Yeah, disappointment there for the relay team. And I think because we've seen them reach so many heights, Alan Cawley, that we thought that we would get a final out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. That is disappointing. Now, of course, there was no Rashida, which would have hampered, I suppose, the pace that they had and what we've seen in the Europeans. But to knock it out of the heat is very disappointing, Marie. Now, Charlene ran really well the last leg there, but listening to Jessie and the times, I think they just missed out by a second, which is very disappointing. But that's a blow, because we've had such a brilliant week, obviously, away from the track, and now the track stuff takes over. And even though I mentioned earlier on about the amount of contenders that we had off the track, everybody was building up towards the athletics as well, in terms of hopefully having some chances in that, and they were one of the chances, maybe coming off the back of winning the European Championship. So that's a blow.
Yeah, it really is. Well analysed there, Alan. Appreciate that. We're going to take...
I'm learning.
You really are. We're going to take a very quick break. Stay with us, though. Nadine Doherty will be up to preview that big ladies football final after these.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome back. Just before the break, there was agony for Ireland and their 4x400m mixed relay. A really gutsy performance, but they didn't run quick enough to qualify for the final. They fell just short, finishing fifth with a time of 3:12.67. Disappointment there, as they were primed to get into the final, although without Rashida Adeleke, but still so much quality in that team. Now we're turning our attention to ladies football, and before we speak to Nadine Doherty, Marty Morrissey caught up with Kerry captain Niamh Carmody and first Galway captain Alva Davern.
I saw your performance against Cork. You worked hard and you have a nice running game. Is that the style of football that you developed?
That's the style, yeah. When we're, you know, hoping to mix it up as best we can, and you know, I suppose it might be different to maybe Kerry's style, in terms of might have a bit more kicking involved, but I suppose we're just falling into that naturally. So yeah, hopefully now we'll see now on Sunday.
What has been different this year about your performances?
Well, I suppose, Marcia, we didn't go so well in the league. We got relegated, and but the belief never left the team, and people kept showing up for training as business as usual, and that's the main thing. We're just delighted to still be training at this end of the year, and I suppose belief really is the answer there, Marty, yep.
Talk to me about this Kerry football team, because, let's be honest, you've shown a lot of character to get back into your third final.
They're a phenomenal bunch of girls. We've been on the road now, I suppose, the last couple of years, as you said, and we're back into our third All-Ireland final. So, I think the team showed real character this year, and just real hunger to get back into the All-Ireland final, and just delighted to be back there now.
In terms of playing Galway, what's your experience of Galway this year?
We played them, I think it was down in Fitzgerald Stadium in the league at the start of the year, and it was a very tight game. I think we just got over the line by a point, and that's kind of the way our games against Galway have gone over the last number of years. They've been very tight games, so it'll probably be a big battle on Sunday, and that's the way I'd say it's seen going.
And Niamh, is it an advantage, or can you turn it into an advantage, that you've lost the last two finals, so you know what the day entails?
I think, look, we've probably experienced the occasion now the last couple of years. It's nothing new to us, so hopefully that settles the nerves a bit more for this Sunday. And I think our approach maybe has changed a bit. It's just another game, and it's just another job we have to get done. But, I think the experience of the last couple of years will stand us.
What does it mean? What would it mean if you were lifting that cup? The Brendan Martin Cup on Sunday?
It'll mean everything. It'll be a massive honour. I think it'll be a massive boost to Kerry LGFA as well. Just to bring an All-Ireland back to Kerry after a lot of years of not being down there. So, yeah, it'll be a massive honour, and it'll be a massive boost to just, I suppose, the younger kids coming up as well.
That was Niamh Carmody of Kerry and Galway's Alva Davern speaking to Marty Morrissey ahead of the big weekend in ladies football, Galway and Kerry, the big one, and to talk us through how it might unfold. I'm delighted to say that Nadine Doherty is with me on the line. How are you, Nadine?
I'm great, Marie. How are you?
Looking forward to the weekend, I have to say. Good. You'll be in Croke Park with me as well for Sunday Sports. So anyone who's listening, do tune in for that. Nadine, I watched the two semi-finals. Cagey enough affairs, but when you look at these two teams, the quality that they have, I guess, defensively, but up top as well, and a really good midfield, do you think we're going to get an open, expansive game of football?
I hope so, but I'm doubtful. The only thing going for this game, Marie, that might mean it becomes a little bit more open than we would anticipate is the fact that it's in Croke Park. You know, the wide open pitch, it doesn't suit a women's game, especially to close down defences. So you'd hope that both teams will try and exploit, you know, that space. You know, and you talk there about the quality in defence, but I mean, I would feel that both of these teams have such quality in attack that we haven't seen this year, really. I mean, we're looking at Kerry and Louise Navarro Hertig, who we talk about all the time. You know, she's almost resigned to cameo appearances every so often in a game. Emma Deneen at full forward, the same. But when they're in it, Marie, they're unbelievable. Danielle O'Leary has really stepped up this year, and, you know, perfect timing. Sheafra O'Shea, she has come back into the team, and she lines out in the forward line, but she plays very, very deep. And then you look at the Galway forward line. I mean, listen, it's just littered with talent. The Divilies, Louise Ward. You know, I feel Louise is due a massive game, and she plays massively in Croke Park for her club. So there's huge scope there for those forward lines to give us something to cheer. You know, I was thinking about it this week. You know, when you do look at Kerry, they've probably changed their approach this year with the view of meeting Dublin in the final. And now Dublin aren't in the final, but they still have this defensive game plan. So I would feel that it's kind of late in the day for them to go back to that lovely open attack and football that we were used to for the last 2 years. But I think the game needs it, Marie, just as you asked initially, you know, will we get a good game? I think the game itself really needs it. So I hope so. And you just don't know on an All-Ireland final day. You know, plans go askew. You look at the relay there now, you know, a few minutes ago. You go into any competition with a plan and you can't really control what goes on in the opposition, so perhaps everything might go out the window and we'll get a big open game of football, but unlikely.
One thing you can control though is what you learn from being in the two previous finals, and Kerry, you would hope, would be able to do that. What do you think they need to do different in terms of approach?
Yeah, you know, listening to Niamh Carmody there, you know, and talking about that experience and it settles you, I hope it does for Kerry. I really do. And I think what has happened with Kerry Murray over the last 2 years, their game has been over by halftime. Mm-hmm. You know, they were kind of gone by halftime against Meath, and the same with Dublin. And I just think that even their management on the sideline, you could see the nerves went kind of all over the pitch. So you'd hope that third time lucky for them in that regard. But then you go back and you look at other teams like Dublin, and you know, Dublin went through all of those heartbreak finals, and you kind of felt at one stage that the experience didn't stand to them at all, that losing didn't stand to them at all, that, you know, psychologically it damaged them in that way. But I do feel with Kerry, and you have to give it to them this year, they have bought into this new game plan, and the focus has been the championship, Murray. I mean, it's been championship all the way. Yeah, they got to that league final against Armagh, but you just had that feeling even in that game that had they won it, absolutely it was a bonus, but the focus has been here. So look, who knows? It's the Kerry girls who will decide on the day what those previous two losses have done in terms of this week. But I think they'll also be looking at it, Marie. And again, going back to what Niamh Carmody said there, they take it game on game. And I do think for this team, they've probably been forced into looking forward and not behind. And you'd hope, as I said, for them that is the attitude they take into Sunday, consciously and subconsciously.
It's remarkable as well when you look at Galway and their journey from relegation to the Connacht title and now to an All-Ireland final. It's hard to believe that they've bounced back so much.
It's incredible, Marie. It's incredible. And, you know, bounce back without playing. Well, no, in fairness to them, they did play their best football against Dublin this year. But, I mean, their Connacht final, they'd admit themselves, it was probably, when we look back now, it was against a mediocre Mayo team, and they lost to Cork in the group stage. They beat a Laois team that essentially should have been an intermediate this year. So the Dublin game really is where I hope they aim to get back to, and I'd imagine they will, because their semi-final as well, you know, as you already mentioned, they did take that dip again against Cork. But Galway don't care what we say. Galway don't care what anybody else says. They just care that they're in an All-Ireland final, Marie. And I, you know, you talk as well about belief, and Alva Davern mentioned that in her interview with Marty, and that team obviously have huge belief and huge trust as well, because there's players there who were there from January, and they, I suppose, would have had to have had huge trust that the Kilcairn girls, you know, taking that extra time off, and they trusted that they would come back in the best shape possible and bring as much as they could possible to this Galway setup. And they've done that, in fairness to them. So, yeah, it's incredible that they're there, but they will say that they have belief they could be there from day one.
Yeah, and they've absolutely done that. And as you said, missing players along the way as well. Just in terms of the key battles then, when you look, you know, we see that both teams have really, really strong forwards, and Olivia Dively and Roisin Leonard, and then you mentioned Louise Muir Hertig, but she also has a little bit of help around her as well with Emma Dineen and Chifer O'Shea. Who's going to pick up who, do you think?
Yeah, I could see Galway more so than Kerry kind of abandoning that zonal structure. Aoife Callig from Galway, she did a serious job on Caoimhe O'Connor of Dublin in the quarterfinal. So I could see her possibly picking up Louise maybe, or Danielle O'Leary out in the half forward line. It'll be interesting to see if Chifer O'Shea and Leanne Cohen kind of clash and mark each other, because they both play a very similar role for both teams. I feel that Kerry probably will commit somebody to Olivia Dively as well, because if she is let loose around those wide open spaces that we talked about in Croke Park, she can be very dangerous. So you would imagine that either Ailish Lynch or Aisling O'Connell will pick her up. And I think outside of that, really, Marie, it'll probably be zonal, and you'll just see a lot of freedom, possession-based football in and around the middle third, but with those few matchups, I'd imagine. But I think both teams will focus mainly on that zonal defence that we're so used to seeing these days.
They have quite different styles of play as well, Nadine, don't they? When you look at the way Galway kind of attack from the back, and there's so much pace, and then Kerry have that really strong long kicking game as well when they want to. So it could be interesting to see what ends up being the game that we see played in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we see 50% of the time from both teams. But then the other 50%, we see both teams playing that possession-based football around the middle. But yeah, they do. Galway have always played that lovely football where they move from defence and, you know, it's all through the hands. I mean, Nicola Ward plays a massive role in that regard, as does Louise, as does Olivia Dively. They do go through the hands at that pace, whereas the Kerry of old, I suppose, they played that lovely kicking game and worked off their full forward line. But we have seen Kerry now, I suppose, move to that possession-based football. They've also improved massively, if that was possible, because they were always amazing with their outside scorers. But, I mean, in the first half, and you have to give them credit for that first half performance in their semi-final against Armagh, they were able to knock over 7 points, Marie, and five or six of those points were from 30, 35 yards out. So, you know, a clash of styles to a point, but we could see a lot of that over and back lateral patient play around.
That's
the
what we're calling it now, is it?
That's what we're calling it now.
So, who do you think has the edge, just in terms of, we'll say, the personnel, the management, the fact that, I suppose, look, they both have experience being in finals of late as well. Who do you think has the edge?
Yeah, I think Kerry have that slight edge, Marie, for a number of reasons. I think, first of all, that Dublin aren't their opponents in this final, and I just think psychologically that will settle them. And I think, in fairness to them, and you have to give it to them, if you're comparing both teams throughout the season, Kerry have been really solid, Marie. They only lost the league final to Armagh. I don't think they lost another game in the league. They might have drawn a game, I think. So, you know, overall, they have been very solid. They've been very steady. They haven't lit up any pitch, or that, you know, they haven't blown any team out of the water, but they have been solid. So I just think with that, that just brings a little bit of solidity. It brings a little bit of confidence that they haven't had those up and down performances that Galway have had, and that Kerry have been able to put those back-to-back consistent performances together. So I think that gives them a little edge. But to be honest, in terms of calling it, I do think it's Kerry's to lose. But honestly, who knows? You know, if that Galway team play the way they're capable of playing, they are capable of beating Kerry. They've already beaten Dublin, as they've shown us. You know, they're capable of beating anybody on their day. So I suppose it does essentially depend on what Galway shows up. But for me, I just think Kerry are edging it ever so slightly.
Okay, Nadine, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and hopefully we'll get the game that we all, I think, deserve as well. That will be live on Sunday Sports, so do tune in for that. We're going to take a very quick break. Now, stay with us, though, because Alan is watching the athletics, so we're going to give him a job on that, probably, and we'll also be chatting about tonight's League of Ireland games and also the Irish teams in Europe.
RTE 2FM. On 2FM.
Welcome back. Now, the big RTE Sport car competition is almost at an end, and we'll have a winner next Tuesday. And if you're not in, you can't win. So here's a reminder of all the details. We've teamed up with Harris Maxis to give you the chance to win a brand new Maxis MIFA 9 worth over €80,000. It's the world's first full-size pure electric MPV, a car big enough for your whole team with a range of up to 520 kilometres on a single charge, delivering comfort and style on a whole new level alongside intelligent driving and superior safety skills. You can take a look at the car on SAIC, that's S-A-I-C, maxis.ie. Now, if you fancy driving away in that €80,000 car, here's your chance with this week's question. Which team won this year's GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship Final? Was it Clare or Cork? If you know the answer, then text the word WIN followed by Clare or Cork and your name to 57886 now. Each text entry costs €2.50. You must be over 18 to enter. Lines close at midday on August 6th. Full details on all applicable terms and conditions are available now on rte.ie/competitions, where the lucky winner will also be revealed. Alan Cawley, football this week.
I haven't seen you since the Hurla final, Marie.
Oh God, we're bringing it back.
Still celebrating.
Still celebrating. This is going to go on forever now.
We better not give away the answer, but...
No, we actually, that's a very good point. So I just repeat the question. Which team won this year's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship Final? Was it Clare or Cork?
One of the best matches I've ever been at in my life.
It was great, wasn't it? We better veer away from that though, Al. Football this week, we had several Irish teams in action in Europe. The latest two were last night when Shells drew with Zurich, and St Pat's also drew with Vaduz, but St Pat's did progress and Shells unfortunately did not. Did you get to see any of the games, Al?
I seen a good bit of the obviously Pats played before Shells, and so I seen a good bit of it, to be fair, Marie. The Pats one was the one that we were hoping they would get through, and I think it was needed for St Pat's, because obviously things haven't gone according to plan, I suppose, since Stephen has come in, but he's still trying to put a stamp on things. But just in terms of the financial reward, and what that will mean to the club, I think that's big, because they are investing heavily, not just in Stephen but the squad as well, in allowing him, I suppose, put his stamp on things. So I think that's important for St. Pat's. They now face up against a team from Azerbaijan called Sabah Baku next Thursday, Marie. And they beat Maccabi Haifa, funnily enough. So that'll be a tough game, but they're in with a shout, and obviously it'll be great if you could see them progress through another round. Shelburne, on the other hand, have bigger fish to fry in terms of the league. I think Europe was a bonus for them this year. And now they faced FC Zurich, who would have been a step above. And obviously the first leg, the damage was done. They were three down. So I think last night was just more about respectability. And they certainly come out with that, a nil-all draw at home. But they have a huge game on Monday night in what will be a table decider, really top of the table clash on Monday night against Derry City. So I think Damien Duff and his squad would have had one eye on that. Although, to be fair to Damien, in all his interviews he's talking about top professionals and top players being able to play three matches a week and not making any excuses whatsoever. So even though he would have had one eye on it, he's not allowing for the players to take their eye off the ball. But that's, when I say they've bigger fish to fry, they're going for the league title, and that will be absolutely huge for Emery if they can get over the line in that. And obviously they're facing Derry, who are their closest rivals, in a massive game on Monday night.
Yeah, we'll go into that in a minute, Al, because there are games tonight as well that I think are worth touching on. And you talk about the title race. Shamrock Rovers probably still feel that they're in that title race and will have to beat Waterford tonight if they realistically want to stay in it.
If they're realistic and they want to stay in it, absolutely. They have games in hand on the teams above. They've only played 23 games. The teams above have all played either one or two more, and their opposition tonight, Waterford, have played two more, so they can certainly close the gap on them. They're just 3 points off them, and they will need a win if they feel as though they're going to get anyways into the race. I think it's a bridge too far for them, because not just in terms of trying to close the gap, Marie, but for them to close the gap, they'd want to go on one hell of a run and be consistent from now until the end of the season, and we just haven't seen any consistency from them whatsoever, hence why they're in fifth position, and it's been such a disappointing season for them. So even though if they beat Waterford, I still can't see them getting into the title race. I think we're down to a two horse race now with Shelburne and Derry, and as I said, that huge game in Talca Park on Monday night.
Yeah, I look forward to that one. And what about tonight then, Al, as well? Drogheda United and Bowes and Dundalk and Galway.
Yeah, big one at the bottom. Drogheda have picked up two wins in the last 2 weeks, one in the cup beating Dundalk, and then a huge one last week beating Drogheda. And they've brought in a couple of players, obviously Shane Farrell as well, the centre forward, have brought in on loan, also has done quite well for them. So I think Drogheda now are in a position where they can really challenge and try and get themselves out of the mire that they're in. They've given themselves a fighting chance. They're playing Bohemians. Things haven't gone all, I mentioned about, gone according to plan in terms of Stephen Kenny at Pats. It's been the same with Alan Reynolds at Bohemians. Now the club are investing in him as well, in the squad, bringing in the likes of Ross Tierney, bringing home Dawson Devoy, big players for the league. But they need to get results on the pitch, and that's a huge one tonight. If Drogheda were to win that, Marie, and obviously Dundalk are playing Galway as well, that's a tricky tie. Now I watched Galway last Saturday night against Sligo Rovers in the Showgrounds, and they were very poor, so you'd expect a reaction from them tonight. So I think tonight is all about the bottom of the table and who can get, if Drogheda can get themselves off the bottom, or if Dundalk can climb even higher. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Bohemians in tonight's game.
Okay, well, you'll be in Monday, so we can chat about them and also look ahead to that Shells Derry game as well, which will be huge. But now we're going to talk to Jane Mangan, who is live from Galway. You found some time for us, Jane. You've been busy.
It's been a busy week, but it's been a great week. If you're not watching Paris, you're watching Galway. It's sport every way you look. I won't lie, my stamina is very low. The first 4 days had me at my wit's end. But like Pinkerton and in the Galway plate for Noel Mead, and the result in the hurdle yesterday for Joseph O'Brien with Nürburgring. There's been a great spread of winners, some great stories, and I suppose that's what Galway is about. You know, it's one of the few, if one of the only meetings left that it offers, you know, fans flat and National Hunt, big and small yards, everybody can have a chance at Galway. And it's been a breakout week for some people, like Ross O'Sullivan, Donald Myler, reminding everybody how good he is. There's been any amount of good stories, and a number of UK winners as well. So it really has been something for everybody. And to think that it runs till Sunday, there's much more to come.
Okay, well, what can we look forward to then?
Yeah, so I suppose the jumping this week has been my highlight. I always love the plate and the hurdle. And on Sunday, the Kinley Hostel Chase is featuring Easy Game and Janadil, who both lined up in the Galway plate, and they'll have their chance for Willie Mullins. Both of them trained by Willie Mullins. Tully Beg is another example of a horse who ran in the plate. But I like Monbeg Park because he's coming here fresh for Sean Doyle and JJ Slevin. He features in that race at 2:55 on Sunday. But the highlight of the weekend is probably the Andorra handicap. Dunham, who won it last year, is back. Current Option, who won it for 3 years in a row before last year, he's back. So you have the last four renewals covered in two horses. It'll be a very interesting handicap. But I want to branch further than the West of Ireland. I want to cover New York tomorrow night, Saratoga Derby, Diego Velasquez. Aidan O'Brien won the big one during the week, the Nassau Stakes, with the opera singer. He'll be hoping for another Group 1 Grade 1 double with Ryan Moore aboard Diego Velasquez at 8:21 in New York, Saratoga, over the mile and one. And at Goodwood tomorrow, the feature race is the Lily Langtry Stakes over mile six. That's a Group 2 for fillies. John Gosden and Kieran Schumark, they'll be hoping to land the big one with Free Wind, but she's going to have to beat Keys Carster and the Irish fillies Grateful and Term of Endearment. Term of Endearment is probably an interesting filly for Henry de Bromhead. Won at York in May, has had a break, coming back here, will love the mile and six trip. But there's just so much happening. I'm disappointed for the show jumpers that they didn't get their medal today. It wasn't their day, but hopefully the speedier types will get the money, whether they're at home or abroad.
Okay, Jane, thank you for all of that. Hopefully you might maybe be able to make some time for us again next week in your very busy schedule, and your stamina might be back. You'll be rested and recuperated.
Don't mind her. She's whining
before next Friday.
You're down there whining in the G Hotel
exactly,
all week.
Yeah, with your fancy outfits. I've seen you. Yes. I've seen you on Instagram, Jane Mangan. Okay, that's all we have time for this evening, Alan. Thank you so much for coming in. Alan and I will be back on Monday, as will Nadine as well, reflecting on those ladies' football finals. Plus, we'll have the Olympics. Do stay listening, though, because the official chart show with the brilliant Blonde and Tracy's up after these. RTE 2FM.